I'm Sarah Lipman. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be learning Sefer Mishlei, Proverbs chapter 5. The overall message of this chapter is a warning: stay far away from that which will take you off track of your goals, your growth, and your development path. Why? You'll regret it bitterly, because someday you will see that you had strength and you had potential and you wasted them, and now it's too late. So enjoy the power within you. Use it, develop it, and grow it. A word that appears with frequency in this chapter is shogeh, to make a mistake. Words based on the root for shogeh appear 3 times in this chapter, which is 22 times more frequently than in the rest of Mishlei, and 273 times more frequently than in the rest of Tanakh, where it is overall a very infrequent word. To understand the nuance of shogeh, let's take a look at where it's first presented to us in the Torah. That's in Bereishis chapter 43, verse 12, where Yaakov is advising his sons to return to Egypt, bringing back with them not only the money they need to buy food, but also money that had been placed in their sacks when they left the last visit and needs to be returned. He says, "V'chesef mishnek chuvi etchem, take with you double the money, v'esha kesef hamushav b'fi amtechosechem, and also take back the money that was placed inside the tops of your sacks. Tashivu v'yedchem, return it with your hands, ulai mishgehu, perhaps it was a mistake." Let's think for just a moment about what kind of mistake could lead a person to put a large sum of money into someone else's sack. It's not the kind of mistake that we're more familiar with in the related word shogeg. Shogeg is an act of omission. It's where you neglect to do something, or you neglected to be careful about something, and therefore you made the mistake. Someone who made a mistake with a large sum of money going into a sack would have forgotten to put it in the bag, not put it in by mistake. So whereas shogeg or shkaga is an error committed through carelessness, mishge, the form of mistake described here, is an error committed through too intense concentration of the mind, preoccupation. A shoge, therefore, is a person who errs through too intense concentration of the mind. You might think, too intense concentration of the mind? Isn't concentration fantastic? Well, it is, but it can become fixation or obsession. Sometimes a person can be so preoccupied with an idea or an image that he doesn't have enough headspace left for taking care of anything else. That is a contrast to the shogeg, who's just negligent because he isn't paying attention to anything overall. The shigia is an error of calculation or judgment, where the mistake is the result of incorrectly weighting factors of importance because you were too caught on something that was not part of the task. So in this sense, as we see it in this chapter, shogeh is an obsession. It's a phase where someone's so into an idea or fascinated or sucked in that it becomes a trap. When it comes to that mindset of shigia, sometimes we can see that an early misstep that in and of itself was not so far off track turns into a major trap. That's something that we sometimes can only see in retrospect, however. Some doors are easier to go through in one direction and difficult to open from the other side. Let's take a look. Chapter 5, verse 1. Bini lechachmasi hakshiva lesivunasi hat aznecha. My child, listen to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my insight. Verse 2. Lishmor mizimos vidas vasecha yinsoru. To maintain wise designs and let your lips safeguard knowledge. Verse 3. Ki nofes titofna sifse zara vechalak mishemen chika. The lips of a deceptive woman, the wife of another person, drip honey, and her palate is smoother than oil. Why is life like this? Why is it so easy to go down and so difficult to climb up? Why is it that bad things can entrap us, our own sins entrap us, and yet goodness always seems to require more effort to get to? Have we really been put into life doomed to failure? The Midrash in Shmos Rabbah teaches, this may be compared to someone who is in the darkness. When he tries to walk and progress forward, he encounters a stone and falls over it. He encounters a pothole, and he falls into it. He encounters a large pit, and he falls flat on his face on the floor. Why is that? Because he is not holding a candle. And this is how it is when we come into this world and we are not holding the words of Torah in our hands. Every time we find a sin, we fall over it. We have not, in fact, been put in life, a dark life, doomed to failure. We have been given a flashlight, a torch, a candle to take on our way, to help us find our way safely through. That light is the light of Torah. And Musar, which is usually translated as rebuke, but more accurately means guidance. Life in this world may indeed be dark, but we're well equipped with light, with torches, with candles. We can, in fact, navigate our way through. It's just up to us to carry the right equipment. But are we willing to pick up the equipment? Some people are always looking for the easy win. They're going to win big in the lottery. They're going to talk big, and therefore people will believe they're big, fake it till they make it. Or they're going to have some crazy scheme to get rich quick without working for it. In business, you know that the best CEO is the person who hires people smarter than herself. At the top, you find people not who are looking for a quick win. You find people who work hard, who want to learn more, who recognize that somebody else might know more than they do and try and work with them and find success. Arrogance and laziness are our enemies. They don't contribute, not to long years of good health. Any insurance company's actuarial tables can tell you that. They don't contribute to happiness in life. What arrogance and laziness cannot provide is what you find when you feel whole with yourself and with God. Shlomo HaMelech says, pick up the candle. Carry a light. Let it illuminate your path. Don't be stupid. Don't be arrogant. Don't be lazy. Don't leave behind all the illumination, the knowledge, the maps, the torches that are set up and have been left for you. Because someday you'll say, why? Oh, why? Why didn't I look? Why didn't I ask? Why didn't I learn? It was all right there. And now I'm trapped. I'm in a pit. I'm in a bankruptcy. I'm in jail. I'm in a life story that horrifies me. I never thought I'd end up here. I never thought at all. The Isha Zara, the woman who belongs to someone else, described in this chapter, embodies every terrible choice that talks and talks in our minds, promising comfort and happiness, promising support, feeling understood, at peace, not a failure. Not by changing who you are, but just by following. And inevitably, when followed, brings exactly the opposite. Destruction of all peace, of comfort, of happiness, of support and self-worth. The opening for that voice inside our own mind, the voice of seduction, is the feeling that I'm lacking something. I'm missing so much. So take what isn't yours. I'm so tired. I'm so overworked. So take ease. Avoid effort. Take a break. I'm so misunderstood. I'm not appreciated. I'm unloved. Here, I promise I'll take care of you. Well, why can't it work? Why can't the Isha Zara promise to cure what ails us and follow through? The Isha Zara and everything she represents in this mashal is attractive because the promised relief from the struggle, from the constant grind, is just an empty promise. The struggle is the goal. The grind is the journey. That is how we progress and grow. The only relief from the struggle and the grind is death. That's where the Isha Zara leads. When our work isn't uplifting, when our efforts feel like they're going nowhere, when we don't feel appreciated, when we're depressed, uninspired, and burnt out, that's when the voice of the Isha Zara in our minds has its opening. Verse 4, Va'acharisa mara chala'ano, chado kecherev pios. But her end is as bitter as wormwood, as sharp as a double-edged sword. Verse 5, Raglaha yordos moves, she'ol tza'adeha yismochu, Her feet descend to death. Her footsteps approach the grave. Orach hayim pen tifales, ne'um agaloseha lo seda. Lest you chart a path of life like hers. Her course wanders astray. You do not know. Verse 7. Ve'atovonim shim'uli, ve'altasuru me'imrefi. And now, my children, listen to me. Do not stray from the word of my mouth. Verse 8. Harchek me'aleha darkecho, ve'altikrav el pesach besa. Keep your way distant from her. Do not go near the door of the house. Verse 9. Pentitain la'achirim hodecha ushnosecha le'achzori. Lest you give up to others your glory and your remaining years to the cruel one. Verse 10. Pen yisbe'u zarim kochecha va'atzovecha beves nochri. Lest strangers be filled with your strength and your hard-earned wealth for the house of another. We need to capture our sense of purpose and mission. We need to write it down. We need to refer back to it. Capture the inspiration for the moments when we don't feel inspired. It takes motivation to use strength, to benefit society, to enrich the world, to create safe space and shelter for those in need. But that's who we can be. We can model integrity. We can be a friend to the friendless. We can be a listening ear to the brokenhearted, so that they don't need to listen to the Isha Zara in their head. Treasure the positive moments. Note down when you've been brave, how you've made a difference to someone else. Save the thank yous and revisit those memories in the moments when you struggle to remember your value and worth. Lean into Torah. It is the word of God speaking to you. And in those words, you hear the voice of one who knows you best and loves you most, who's in it with you for the long haul, who could have kept his distance, but has chosen to relate to you. In the security of God's care, in the shelter of Torah, we discover our greatest confidence in ourselves. We can awaken the inspiration and the sense of our purpose in life, and our actions can radiate kindness to others. And in giving, rather than receiving, we start to feel alive and vibrant again. This is where the honeyed voice of the Isha Zara lies. Her voice says, seek to receive rather than to give. That is the beginning of a death spiral. Because by definition, the problems, the burnout, the self-loathing, the depression, the loss of value, we feel worse and worse and worse, and we listen again, and we feel worse, and we listen again. It's an ugly feedback loop. We feel more alone, more vulnerable, more lost, and listen again. We can destroy our lives entirely and have not a single thing we really wanted. The cure in our darkest moments is to reach up, to seek to be for someone else what we know that we ourselves need, to remember our past successes, to keep our eyes on the bigger goal, and to remember that there is a bigger goal. Verse 15. Shisei mayim miborecha, v'nozlim mitoch be'erecha. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Verse 16, yafutsu maya nosecha chutza, barachovos palge mayim. Your springs will gush outward, streaming water in the thoroughfares. Verse 17, yiyulecha levadecha, ve'en lazari mitoch. They will be your very own, strangers will have no share with you. Verse 18, yihi mekorcha varuch, usmach me'eshes ne'urecha. May your source be blessed, and may you find joy with the wife of your youth. Refreshing waters here are the metaphor of giving life, and notably, the life-giving environment of a loving home. Shlomo HaMelech says, you don't need to seek outside of yourself to find your happiness. Drink water from your own cistern, in your own backyard. The Torah is already yours. Just pick it up and take hold of it. With time, you won't only be a bore, a cistern that receives water poured in from outside. You won't just be a bore with your Torah learning, receiving what others put into you. You will become a wellspring of learning and knowledge for others. That power is all there within you, waiting to be awakened. The greatest blessing is to see that what you have and what you don't have is all your blessing. To know that the sweetest water is in fact in your own backyard, in your own heart. to realize that however perishable things in life are, health, wealth, intelligence, friends, titles, what lasts forever is your heart and the treasures you will find there. Verse 19. Ayeles ahavim v'ya'alas chein dadeha yiravucha v'chol es ba'ahavasa tishke tamid. A loving doe, inspiring grace. Her breasts will provide plenty for you at all times. You will be infatuated with the love of her always. Verse 20. V'lama tishke b'ni v'zara usachabek chek nochriya. So why be infatuated, my son, with a woman who is someone else's wife? Why embrace someone foreign to you? Verse 23. Hu yamus be'ein musar, uverov ivalto ishke. He will die because of his immorality, his refusal to accept guidance. Because of his delusion, he is caught in it. May we all merit Shlomo HaMelech's blessings. May we learn to value that which is closest and dearest to us, most of all the treasures of our own heart. And may we learn to carry and pick up the gift of Torah and take it with us on what can be a long, dark journey. Thank you for studying together with me. Le'ilui Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.